Hi everyone, I'm Gina Dana, and this is Environmental Hub's Green Spot. This podcast is designed to highlight the most pressing environmental issues facing our world. We are going to be talking with professional environmentalists and activists, as well as other members of our global community, about today's major issues. Prepare to get active. On Blog Talk Radio. This is Jeannie Dana, and we have a really great show for you tonight about activism. Before I begin and introduce our first guest, I want to speak about a very important petition we have on Facebook right now. It's a petition to Big Cypress, and it's written by Stone Crab Alliance. And what's happening is Burnett Oil wants to go into the Everglades, and they want to do seismic testing to get ready for fracking. So this is a very important petition that everyone sign if they could. I'm going to read just a little bit of it, and it is also posted in the comments section under this show and also on Environmental Hub in our pinned post. So I'm going to read a little bit of it. We, the undersigned, are deeply concerned about Burnett Oil's proposal to conduct seismic testing over 70,000 acres in the Big Cypress National Preserve. This is a large project encompassing some of the most environmentally sensitive lands in the nation. The type of geophysical exploration proposed by Burnett will involve the use of fibrosis buggies, otherwise known as thumper trucks. These weigh up to 30 tons. That vibrate large plates against the ground to generate seismic signals, which measure for model local geology. The impacts and activity from this can include removal of trees, vegetation, building of access roads, surface and sheet flow disturbance from vehicles, cut lines that can extend up to 50 feet in width, clearing for equipment staging areas, and noise from vehicles, helicopters, and generators, not to mention the noise pollution. The Big Cypress National Preserve is public land. It is set aside to provide critical habitat for endangered and threatened species, to safeguard vital watersheds, and to provide recreation. We are deeply concerned about the permanent and cumulative impacts this large-scale seismic survey will have on the wildlife, wetlands, recreation, as well as South Florida's freshwater resources. So please go on our site, Environmental Hub. Join Stone Crab Alliance. They've written the petition. Sign the petition that's right under this podcast. And that's what I wanted to say this evening before inviting our really great guests we have. And I want to tell you about a little bit of them. This is Demonstrate to Educate, the Southwest Florida Clean Water Movement. Environmental activism on social media without a doubt works, but not unless the same energy and commitment to awareness, education, and speaking to power is translated to the general population. By public demonstrations will these environmental messages be heard by anyone. Today we have the pleasure and honor of speaking with John G. Heim. He has Southwest Florida Clean Water Movement based in Fort Myers Beach, Florida. John has been an avid environmental activist for most of his life. John's dedication and level of energy displayed in the fight for clean water in Florida is phenomenal. John Heim went to Congress in 2015, as well as this year, to talk about the devastating effects of the environment by Lake Okeechobee discharges. John was also recognized in 2014 by the United States Great American River Association as a river champion. He is an economic tourism activist with the Michael DiCarlo Foundation, an art summer camp for children called the River Kids. This program teaches young people to care for their environment and health of their rivers. John's mantra is demonstrate to educate, and he certainly does that. Actively working for clean water as a basic human right is something John Heim has been working on since he was 19 years old, when he met his mentor and wonderful lifetime friend, Joe Finney. Together, they form the Southwest Florida Clean Water Movement. John, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. Thank you for having me. How are you?
Pretty good. We're here. Whatever we want to talk about, you have the floor.
Well, first off, I'd like to thank you for having me. Stand today to speak as a representative for the group Southwest Florida Clean Water Movement, which you had spoken of. We're based out of tiny 7-mile-long Fort Myers Beach, Florida, if any of you have ever heard of that before. It's basically ground zero of the harmful effects of the freshwater releases, better known as the Lake Okeechobee discharges. Also, I'd like to point out right off the bat, give a big shout out to Karen and John Dwyer of the Stone Crab Alliance. And, you know, we're all in this together. So their fight is our fight, just like our fight is their fight. And, of course, we applaud the petition that you have online, and we will certainly share that out for you as well.
Oh, that's great. Now, John, I understand that you have a you have something coming up here, like a personal challenge, what you do, the activism that you do in Fort Myers Beach on the bridge. Do you want to talk about that?
Well, sure. Actually, it's not really a, more of a personal challenge. It's more of a challenge to the community when it comes to raising awareness as one single person to go out onto the Fort Myers Beach Bridge for 90 days planned. Starting November 16th for an hour each day to basically, you know, hold a sign up, you know, that reads basically buy the land or send the water south, something in that degree of raising awareness towards the harmful effects of the Lake Okeechobee discharges. And the plan was to follow up off of something we've already done where we've actually completed 60 straight days in a row on the Fort Myers Beach Bridge to raise awareness. And the reason we're actually up on the bridge is to send signals to our town council, which is Fort Myers Beach, and our town leadership here, who we seem to be in a you know, year-round battle with them to provide educational information about the harmful effects of the Lake Okeechobee discharges, such as we're fighting for QR codes to be placed on our beach access signs, which any smartphone could be rubbed up against it, and it directly takes you to the Sanibel Captiva Conservation Foundation or the FGCU Ecological Branch to give you update undisputable water quality reports. So that's what we're looking to do. That's why we stand on the bridges, is to, you know, not only raise awareness, but to force our local governments. And, you know, everybody says to, of course, you know, focus your fight on the prize, which a lot of times in this case would be our state, but seems to forget about the local level. So, of course, we're grassroots, the Southwest Water Clean Water Movement. So we've been through all out the state and certainly do fight hand-in-hand with the whole state as activism, as a whole core. But we're certainly centralized back forward after 5 continuous years of being on the road of fighting against the discharges to come back home and fight for where we started, and that is Fort Myers Beach, Florida, ground zero of the Lake Okeechobee discharges.
Yes, that is ground zero, and that's a very good idea to put QR codes, and there shouldn't even the cost for that shouldn't be that high, you know, they should not be fighting you on that, so I commend you for working towards this.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh no, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say what we've been facing here for, you know, as long as the discharge has been in existence, especially Southwest Florida, when it comes to our local leadership, not only on tiny Fort Myers Beach, Florida, but the whole grand scale of Lee County, when it comes to our county commissioners and, you know, local leadership. And I say that as a grand whole, all the way to our state representatives and so forth, when it comes to our local, you know, area of Lee County and Southwest Florida, we're dealing with an area that's basically completely paid off by Big Sugar. So all of our politicians throughout history have been paid off. So we're dealing with complacency that has been dwindled down to the general public throughout time, to where dirty water has become a mundane thing, and people very much still can be heard to have be spoken to the water in this light, to where they say, hey, it's just dirty water. What's the big deal? It's just a river runoff. So, you know, it's been basically bled into a mentality here that it's just okay to have dirty water. So we're trying to reverse that cycle psychologically. And we have, certainly within a, you know, grand scope over the past year and a half, for sure. We've completely, our goal was to make water quality as popular as football. And what we mean by that is to bring it up in general conversation in the bars and the pubs around here and the grocery stores and in churches and such like that. General conversation about our number one resource, which is clean water as a basic human right. And we've kind of transferred the mentality here on tiny Fort Myers Beach, Florida, 7 miles, into a general conversation where people actually do speak about it and, you know, how much it is precious to our local environment, which I don't need to remind you is based 100% on tourism.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that is all tourism there. How many members do you have now?
Well, presently online on the one Facebook, main site, Southwest Florida Clean Water Movement, which anybody can go to and look up online. As a matter of fact, we're up towards 13,000 people right now on just that established site. When you start to interconnect us working together with other activism groups statewide, such as bullsugar.org, you start to get into the hundreds of thousands of people. We work tremendously well with the Native Americans down in the Everglades as well, such as Betty Osceola and, Houston Cypress and so forth, and certainly down there in Naples when it comes to the Stone Crab Alliance, not to mention the Caps for Clean Water here in Fort Myers. So we try to look at it like as big as we are with general numbers that say so, the idea is we're much stronger when it comes to our individual coalition packs of clean water activism groups in Southwest Florida.
Oh, that's wonderful. There's strength in numbers, that's for sure. Could you tell me a little bit about when you went to Washington this last time?
Sure, yeah. The reason we went to Washington was kind of a sub-story in itself, so I'll start there. We had gone as the Southwest Florida Clean Water Movement representatives, myself and a couple beach members, to attend the Southwest Florida Mayor's Coalition on Water Quality. They had a press conference downtown where the mayor of Fort Myers, Randy Henderson, held a press conference to say that the mayors were heading to D.C., and anyone could go. What they didn't expect was somebody was going to actually react on their invitation to go. So that would be me. So I took their invitation and went as quick as I could and basically carved up my own agenda when it comes to making appointments with our federal, people who stand for us and such like that, our leaders. And our community here in Fort Myers Beach raised over $4,000 in 4 days for me to fly up there in a quick, fast hurry. And basically, that's what went down. So I became a, community activist, not for just clean water, but certainly a lobbyist in D.C. for our community. Community basically sent me there. I spoke for our community, had a PowerPoint presentation that I showed to, many of the federal representatives and their colleagues, all the way down from Kirk Clawson, who actually met with not only myself, but the Mayor's Coalition. And the Mayor's Coalition, mind you, the reason they were there was to push something on their agenda at the time called the C-43 Water Storage Facility. That was their main fix. Our main fix as activists has always been the same fix, and that is Plan 6, which translates to buying the land and sending the water clean south through the Everglades, which naturally used to occur, commonly known as the River of Grass, right through to the Everglades. Anytime you hear the Everglades are dying, this is why they're dying, is because of a byproduct of the Lake Okeechobee discharges. Not only are Fort Myers Beach and Sanibel and the west coast of Florida river slash, coastlines being affected, so is the east coast and Stuart, Florida. But what people don't really translate through is this has everything to do with saving the Everglades. In order to save the Everglades, you must buy the land from the sugar industry and send that water naturally clean south right back there to recreate the River of Grass. So that's what the grand scope is. We're fighting for all of Southwest Florida and South Florida in general when it comes to water quality and water supply the way it's supposed to be. We're not looking into, building higher dikes and higher elevations to store more water, because in the end it's basically just more dirty water. We need filtration measures, we need cleansing devices, and we need accountability when it comes to our state and, local leadership. Really sad fact here in Lee County is the health department did not test for any of the, obvious signs of phosphorus levels or, high bacteria counts. They basically just tested for bird droppings. And that's an insult to the people not only that come here to visit, but certainly the people that live here year-round, that we deserve better than that. We certainly deserve the truth when it comes to our water quality. So, when it comes to the trip to D.C., in a roundabout circle, we met with Mr. Kirk Clawson. He asked for our input as activists and certainly waited against the wall of what the mayor's was. The mayor's, again, message was to store water in something called C-43 Water Storage Facility, which I might have to remind the listeners that only holds 6 days of water as a max, and that water will not be cleaned. It will be sitting there, and then when released, it'll be basically just more water, dirty, coming from a different area and a different component with no clean water components on it or filtration measures. So obviously the goal was to talk to someone on the federal level into convincing him to stand up for our waterways as a leader of Southwest Florida in the federal level and to be voiceful about the only solution, which is to buy the land and send the water south. So he did just that, Mr. Kirk Lawson. We take our hats off to him as activists and community members first and foremost. You know, he actually said he was going to do that and call a press conference and actually went even a step further and introduced a bill into Congress that is now there as we speak and is basically being ignored, sadly. So we need people to rise up and support this bill and, you know, have people push it forward. Because without someone like Kirk Clausen's, you know, strength to push a bill through there, it's basically useless if it just sits there. We have to be the ones who grab that bill and make enough noise to where people look at it and pass it, you know. So we came away from that trip feeling very well about it. Not only did myself go, but I had met a representative from the Everglades and Richard Stanley, and also met with a guy named Lewis Drexel, who was from Stuart, Florida. And so we basically, as three activists, covered the whole geographical area of South Florida that has been affected drastically by the harm of the liquid discharges.
Well, that's wonderful. And that proves that all lobbyists are not bad lobbyists. Because when you lobby for people, that's how you represent us, you know, and get things done. So I really hope that they do that. When I look at all the names of the representatives and senators in the state, the name I see that comes up a lot is Bullard for being for the Amendment 1 and for buying the land. Am I correct in that?
What was the name? I'm sorry.
Senator Bullard.
He's on our side of the things, certainly.
Yeah,
but
we need
a complete overhaul, so to speak, when it comes to our state legislation, especially Southwest Florida. People like Elizabeth Beniquisto and so forth like that. It's, Matt Caldwell, especially when it comes to sitting on the agriculture chair and being a state representative at the same time. That is a complete conflict of interest right off the bat, raising the red flag. They call Mr. Caldwell our boy, the sugar industry, so that's his actual nickname. So you can go from there and connect the dots. These seats need to be basically taken over by people who have the best interest of water and, the basic human right of it when it comes to being provided, you know, to people on, you know, a clean, you know, human being basis. Mr. Caldwell has sold himself out, and so have a lot of our political seats, not to call every single political person's name out, but the point being is there's a whole gang of them and they're all basically paid off and they're all doing everything against your best interest when it comes to providing clean, healthy water as a basic human right to us.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And you know, Caldwell, he has a very good contender there coming up, John Scott. And I hope everybody votes for him to take over Caldwell's position. And John Scott has the Colusa Sierra Club. And you know John, don't you? I thought you did.
I certainly do, yeah. We have quite a number of years of working together when it comes to clean water. And John Scott's a trooper when it comes to the mission. And we certainly applaud and we are behind 100% his campaign. Looking very much forward to John giving him a run for his money, so to speak. It's going to take everything that we've got to support someone like John from a grassroots level to take on someone as powerful as Mr. Caldwell. The idea here is to use John's momentum and, you know, basically expose truth and run with truth as our campaign against Mr. Caldwell. So there's nothing wrong with spreading truth. And as much as it hurts, it's something Mr. Caldwell is certainly going to have to answer to on this campaign, whether it's through Mr. John Scott's campaign or activism as a whole, whether it's the Southwest Florida Clean Water Movement, Cabins for Clean Water, or Bull Sugar. The idea is people like this can no longer run with the tools we have at our hands, which is social media. Basically the gig's up. They can't stop us anymore because we're running basically the show now when it comes to truthful information that is free, the way it's supposed to be, through the birth of social media and the internet itself. So the elephant, so to speak, is out of the room, and it's running down the beaches and the rivers and all of the streams, and it's being exposed. And the people that are, you know, intertwined with holding the elephant in the room too, of course, very important to expose. We applaud Mr. John Scott's run against Mr. Caldwell. The truth being the truth is Mr. Caldwell does not have any of our best interest in mind as Southwest Florida, you know, voters. To think that you're voting upon party lines, that's incorrect. We're not anti-Republican or anti-Democrat. As a matter of fact, our whole group, once again, is close to about 13,000 people just locally here. And all of these people vote off river on the election sheet. So it's not Democrat, not Republican, not independent, because we are all of those, but we're all standing up for our waterways as one collective bunch of people. So, you know, you don't have to vote on party lines on this. What you need to do is basically pick up your election pad and do your homework on who is the best proponent and person for, you know, our rivers and protections of them and our waterways. So on this one, it's a no-brainer. Mr. John Scott, who also leads the local Sierra Club chapter, is certainly our man. We'll get our vote when it comes to a county and Southwest Florida wide.
Oh, yes. Yes, and I hope he wins. That's the most important thing, is to get some environmentally responsible candidates in there, and all across Florida. When we look at Governor Scott, he's sort of like the king with no clothes, the emperor with no clothes. His eyes are closed to what is actually happening to his state, while he helps out the big business and big sugar. So. And I realize that there are other problems. There are the septics around Lake Okeechobee, and that is a problem. And then you have your agriculture and your animals and that, and the runoff. But big sugar certainly is a large, large part of the problem. I noticed a post that you had a couple of days ago where they're actually putting advertisements in your paper now in Fort Myers, right? Some greenwashing going on there.
That's been going on for months now, and doesn't stop there. As a matter of fact, at some of our rallies, most presently at FGCU, we had a clean water rally, which will be the main college campus here in Fort Myers, with a high enrollment rate. You know, it's a big college, and basically was infiltrated by fake protesters. You could imagine people that were paid to stand there and keep their mouth quiet opposing. They were basically protesting the protesters. So you can imagine the extremes that Big Sugar is going to, not only just writing editorials and articles in our local papers, promoting themselves as, you know, pro-environmental stewards, you know, and it's just kind of a laugher when you read these articles that their main spokesperson, Judy Sanchez, and their PR team is on, is rather ridiculous and cartoonish at best, because anybody with a clear conscience can read these articles and see right through the black and white and right through to the truth, you know. And the truth being is everybody knows that our waterways are not correct, and it is a learning curve of to know why. Once you figure out the bend of who is responsible for this, you start to understand it really is a political mess where people are basically taking large amounts of payoff from big conglomerate companies such as U.S. Sugar and Florida Crystals, and basically being protected politically when it comes to, you know, feeding the monster, so to speak, with their pesticides and, you know, who knows what kind of chemicals that we're dealing with, as a matter of fact, you know. Like, this kind of stuff has never been tested for, and that is just appalling, you know. Like, we really consider ourselves locally to be just like the translant of, like, the movie Jaws, where it's just the same exact thing. We as the activists are like Sheriff Brody, and, you know, the mayor and political figures in the movie are just like the political figures around here saying, be quiet, there is a season coming up. And, you know, the shark happens to be the water itself this time. So guess what? Someone's going to eventually get bit, and already has, by this water, and it's no laughing matter. That is a loose, you know, description of what we are, but that's what we're facing. We have for a long time. You know, a political machine that's basically saying, don't do that here. Don't protest here. Don't believe these crazy tree huggers. Don't even look at the water. Okay, now people are supposed to not have any clear vision and be halfway blind and not supposed to even look at the water. And you're supposed to be set up as a 100% tourism-based town with that mentality of when someone actually does speak up to the truth of it, and the first thing you want to do as the person who speaks up to the truth, as us, you know, going back to the analogy, we're like Sheriff Brody in the movie, but we're in real life, to where we're just trying to provide information to public people about the possible harmful effects of this water to try to inform people. And when we actually ask that, we're having our faces basically chewed off by not only our local governments, but somehow it systematically rolls down in years past where it became, you know, the status quo for local businesses and such like that, you know, residents to say just the opposite, like keep your big mouth shut, you're killing tourism. And you start to get and find yourself into what Mr. John Dwyer had described me as one time, as a enemy of the people, which is an old play where you're basically, you know, trying, the character's trying to spell out there's something wrong with the springs. And just like Jaws the movie, the play basically goes into the middle where they tell the professor who found something wrong with the springs to be quiet. A holiday season was approaching and no one would come here to the springs if that information got out. And the man was ostracized and run out of his own town. So you're basically dealing with the same thing, and only in now's times. So, like, you know, the awareness that we do on this island comes with a lot of pressure attached to it, too. Just like it would with the people who, you know, fight against fracking. Of course, the fracking companies and oil and gas companies are going to come hard against them. The people who fight up against FPL and the, you know, sources of that, they completely get, you know, shooken down and a lot of pressure put onto them. People that fight up for, you know, SeaWorld, for crying out loud, to have that closed, we're completely pressured. We expect the pressure, but the honesty is that we're doing nothing wrong than being concerned citizens of our community, and we're leading with truth.
Yes, and that is the most important thing. You're true to your cause, and you are in the streets. You are getting the average person that is going about their life, not looking at what's happening in Florida, is now looking more because of you and your movement and all the movements in Florida. And I love social media. Social media has brought us all together, and that's for sure. But we still have to be on the ground. You still have to get out in the streets because everyone's not online, and which I find that amazing because I think of everyone being online, and but a lot of people aren't.
Well,
so
we as a group certainly pride ourselves as being on both. You know, like we like to live on the streets, and that's our identity, and that's who we are. And we'll display our fight on social media. We know that's our weapon and our tool. You know, that's the weapon of choice, so to speak, that we bring is social media. The only thing we're really equipped for when it comes to the battle of this war, and trust me, it is a war for clean water, is protest signs. So, you know, like if we're like a bunch of hellraisers and bad people and protesters and demonstrators and activists and all this tree hugger stuff and nothing near close to described as community members, then how harmful can we be if all we have is that we come to war with a sign that says clean water now? You know, we're basically getting into the conscious level of people on a continuous basis with these protests that last for months on end to basically win over the psychological war. What we had noticed on the 60-day protest was on day 30 about there was a shift in the general reception of the average Joe that was driving by in their car. Rather than having, like, you know, things hurled at you, including, like, insults and physical objects, we were starting to get honks and thumbs up. And suddenly the psyche of a whole community completely changed, and hence goes back to our goal was to try and make water quality as popular as football. So we feel as if we can possibly do that when it comes to creating a change locally and being the change locally. Like, we really want to become a clean water community. So in order to do that, we must act like a clean water community. And so that's what we're basically doing, is starting from scratch and starting a mentality and psychology out first when it comes to education. No one can really fight up against education. You know, you don't see people really protesting against expansions of libraries other than it comes to this town that I live in. That has actually happened as well in the past. So that gives you an idea of the kind of leadership that we're dealing with. The same kind of people that would fight the expansion of a learning facility would also ask you as a resident to keep quiet about the Lake Okeechobee discharges.
Yes, and that you can't be quiet about, that's for sure. I put the link for Southwest Florida Water Movement in the comment section underneath our podcast here, and I encourage everyone to go on to Facebook and get with John. And John, thank you so much for being with us today.
Okay, thanks for having us.
Okay, all right, thank you. Bye.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. I would like to leave you with a quote and a thought. Environmental issues are not local issues, they are global. Social media activism not only works, it is one of the best ways to outshout the special interests that actively work against our environment. When you see a petition, sign it. When there is a call-in event, pick up the phone and call your legislators. When there is a write-in event, send an email. When there is a peaceful protest in your community, attend. Search Environmental Hub on Facebook and join us. Until next time, wishing you peace and love.